we don't take care of our kids, we're terrible moms. If we don't take care of our parents, we're terrible daughters. If we're not taking care of our friends, we're terrible friends. We bend over backwards to take care of everyone else, yet ourselves, we don't take care of ourselves, and that is selfish. That's so luxurious. Why are you so bougie? Don't you feel guilty spending all that time on yourself? Holy hypocrisy, Batman. Why are women and moms taking care of everybody else except ourselves? There is a top-down trickle effect in play. Crap flows downhill, y'all, and if mama's not taking care of herself, it overflows onto everyone else. It's time to make a change. Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. I'm your friend, Patricia Sun. My mission is to be a lighthouse for mothers with ADHD, helping you find your path to success by learning to appreciate your ADHD as an asset. I'm seeking to change the paradigm that ADHD means your life is doomed to be a hot mess. So I'm sharing strategies and encouraging you in your pursuit of happiness to love who you are every day of your ADHD life. Hey there, Mama. It's your friend Patricia. When anyone asks for my advice on what to do when you have ADHD, I always talk about my three pillars. Learn about your brain, put on your oxygen mask first, and ask for help. I felt over the last year, I really wanted to focus on learning about our brains. How do they function? Talking about executive function. What is it actually? And the neurological condition. We talked a lot about understanding ADHD. And I feel a clear and sturdy tug on my heart to talk to you about putting your oxygen mask on, taking care of yourself. So that's what we're going to be talking about for the next few episodes. This is a serious problem, especially for women with ADHD. I have noticed a trend in the women that I've been speaking to is that we don't take care of ourselves. We have learned over the years that our internal radar is off or broken or something's not right. We receive messages that we're different, and rather than thinking about changing something on the outside, we think it's something we need to change on the inside. We think we're the problem. We're the broken ones. So we learn to distrust our instincts. We tune out our inner voice, and we think that when it's telling us something's wrong, well, that's just because we're broken. We're misinterpreting that message. For years, we have been telling ourselves that we need to ignore that little voice. So when it tells us we need to slow down or take care of ourselves, we don't tend to that alert button. We think it's broken. So if we have been ignoring these messages for such a long time, we're going to have to start small. Dip your toe in the water. Take it slow. Figure out what kind of self-care is the right one for you. Little by little, we can learn to tune back into that voice and take care of ourselves. But here's the thing, self-care has a bad rap. It's more than just bubble baths and face masks, finally getting to shave your legs in the shower after 3 months. As Agnes Wayman explained, self-care is, quote, something that refuels us rather than takes from us. Are you recharging your battery? My guess is probably not as much as you should. But why does this matter? If you don't take care of a vegetable garden, you don't get any veggies. You don't take care of a fruit tree, you don't get any fruit. You don't take care of your money, you don't have any money. If you don't take care of your car or your house, they start to fall apart. The same holds for ourselves. If we don't take care of ourselves, we start to fall apart too. We start to lose our sanity. The funny thing is, over time, self-care has turned into this item of luxury. But it's not. It is about doing the basic things. Food, water, sleep. If you aren't doing these basic things to take care of yourself, you get sick, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually. We also can't take care of other people well when we're running on empty. There's nothing there to pass on. There's nothing to give because we don't have anything left. Now, if this is a hard place for you, I want you to start from here. Think about how this benefits your kids, your family, your partner. When you're healthy and fueled and feeling good, that is how you can better take care of them. This is how you can start to feel okay with spending time or effort or money on yourself. If that's the route you need to go, that's okay. But I also want to tell you that you deserve to be taken care of because you are a human and you are valuable. Your basic needs are important. I want you to be able to take care of those so that you can also take care of your auxiliary needs and taking care of yourself as a whole. over time, you see the benefits for everyone, including yourself. Eventually, you can change your mindset that it's selfish or unwarranted to focus on you. I want you to get to the point where you feel like you deserve it, not out of telling the work that you've done or what you've contributed, but because you are a valuable and worthy human being. Taking care of yourself falls in the basic needs category. It's not a luxury. Yes, you can do it in a luxurious manner, but your basic needs do need to be taken care of, or we fall apart, we break, and we shut down, and we die. Now, how do we get here? I'll try to rein myself in so I don't get on a soapbox here. But the way that families and moms have functioned over the last few hundred years has changed a lot. We're not living in community like we used to, where families live together, generations, relying on each other, helping each other out. Now we're more individualistic. We're supposed to be self-sufficient, and we have more responsibilities. And you know what? Back then, work was limited to daylight. We didn't have the option to stay up at 11 p.m. working on something because you couldn't see. So over time, we've increased workload, but we have less support embedded into our daily lives. All the things we're juggling, it's a lot. But that means that our self-care is even more important. But it's hard to overcome the pieces of us that feel like we shouldn't be doing it. On one hand, our maternal instinct keeps us from tossing that baby out the door during the seventh hour of crying. But we can take it too far. We can go overboard in putting our kids ahead of ourselves. I recently joined the Enclave with Liz Lewis and Elizabeth Brink, and I have to say it has been life-giving. But before I get on that tangent, we were talking the other day about trusting yourself. Elizabeth challenged us to think about a way that you could lean into trusting yourself and taking care of something that you need to take care of and listening to your body. And I realized one of the ways that I don't listen to myself is when I have to go to the bathroom and my kids need something, I will be like, cool, I'll just hold it a few more minutes because they need help. You know what I did this week? My kid needed a puzzle from a high shelf because why? I don't let you have puzzles unless I say so because I'm not picking up all these pieces. Anyways, he wanted the puzzle from the high shelf and I had to go to the bathroom. And I said to him, sorry, bud, I have to go to the potty. I'm not getting the puzzle out right now. I'll get it for you when I'm done. And of course, he protests. And so I quoted Daniel Tiger saying the "When You Have to Go Potty, Stop and Wood Right Away" song, and I left. Because you know what? My kid has 43 other toys he can have within arm's reach to occupy himself for the next 2 minutes while I pee. I understand there's going to be times where, hey, I'm going to be in there a minute and I'd rather you have an activity before I start. This was not one of them. But this is a way that I can take care of myself and put my needs, something basic like the restroom, ahead of my kid. He'll be fine to get a puzzle in 2 minutes, really. Because yes, we are responsible for them, but it doesn't have to be at the utter detriment of ourselves. You can find this middle ground where you're still taking care of your kids, but also yourself. It's a hard balance to strike and it's never going to be exactly there all the time. But it is possible to start hearing that inner voice that says, hey, you have to go to the bathroom and listen. Another reason I think we shy away from self-care is jealousy. This morning, a good friend of ours was texting and she was saying that her husband was still asleep. I'm like, I've been up since 5:45 and in your time zone, it's 10:30 in the morning. Like, how are you even employed? Anyway, not the point. But I was jealous. I was mad. But you know what? That's unfair to me. I could sleep more. I can sleep more. I don't have to be mad at my friend for sleeping. He's taking care of his need. Quite honestly, a lot of us women could take a note from dudes who just do what they want. Again, another soapbox. I'm just going to sit right there, not hop on. Point being that if I want to do things differently, I can. I don't have to be jealous of what other people are doing and then not make any changes in my life and just complain. Hey there, mama. Are you a double booker? Do you forget that you had that appointment altogether? How often do you realize you're supposed to be somewhere in, 5 minutes? Do you know why you can't keep track of it all? Because you either don't have the skills or you don't have a plan, or both. Keeping a calendar is a basic life skill that many of us never learned because either no one taught us or they taught us in a way that didn't make sense to our ADHD brains. Let's change that. I hate watching you struggle on life skills that are learnable. Remember, you are not doomed to be a hot mess. Feeling confident and prepared is doable. Keeping up with your calendar can be simple. I want to give you a basic system that works for your life and then help you develop a plan to actually keep up with the system. I know that you are ready to build calm and peace into your day by knowing where you need to be and when. My class on how to keep a calendar when you have ADHD will be available shortly, and for you, my successful mama, I'm offering a little something special in honor of our 2-year anniversary, and it's only available to you because you listen to the podcast. Head over to patriciasung.com/ADHD calendar, it's all one word, and sign up for the waitlist before Motherhood and ADHD's birthday on February 28th, so that you will be the first one to know when the course is available and grab your little something-something before I open it up to the public at its regular and obviously higher price. You are not alone, and I am here to help you create the motherhood success story that you deserve. Progress over perfection. Let's move forward. The other area where I think we go wrong is that when it comes to self-care, everybody has a different opinion on what is quote-unquote good for you, because we're all different. What works for me and recharges and refuels me is not what's going to be necessarily for you or your best friend or your sister. Everybody's going to have a different way of refueling and recharging their energy tanks. Yet somehow, as moms and just society as a whole, we're chasing this version of success, this goal that may not actually be our version of success. And this is part of where it comes in knowing who you are and what's important to you. When I know what recharges me, what refuels me, then I can focus there. Because while running ultramarathons is a really great goal for some people and they find that to be very calming and good for their soul, I don't want to run any ultramarathons. So that's not going to be my idea of a good time. Our brains are wired to be included. We want to be included. That makes us feel good. And if you think back to like the times of nomadic people, if you got ostracized from the group, you were left behind and left for dead. So it is ingrained in our basic like safety mechanism of our brain to stay included and be a part of the group, because it truly was a fight or flight problem if you got left behind. Now, thankfully, we can use our slightly more developed brain to really sit down and think, is this something I want to be chasing? Do I want to be a part of that ideal? Is that the goal I want to push for? Or is it okay if I do it my own way? You'll have a different answer depending on your situation. So I can't tell you the answer there, but I can say that we have got to stop this myth that is perpetuated by men and women, young and old, rich and poor. We've got to stop saying that self-care is luxurious and a luxury item that we can choose or not choose. No, self-care includes taking care of our basic needs and refueling our tank so that we can do more. So your homework for today, mama, is to brainstorm a list of things that make you happy. What refuels you? What makes you feel energized? These can be things that are big or small, and they're all about you, not anyone else. They can be things like basic functions, you know, sleep, fueling your body well, exercise and movement. It could be something like finally making that routine medical visit that you've been putting off, putting off, putting off. Perhaps it's some relaxation or meditation or prayer time. Maybe it's quality time with loved ones. Some kind of fun hobbies or art or music. Perhaps it's laughter and friendship and community, or maybe it's solitude and quiet. If you are stuck and don't really know where to start, the upcoming episodes are going to help you so much. I have invited some amazing ADHD women to share with you their stories and what they do to help take care of themselves. Another thing you can do if you're stuck is to make a no list. What are the things that you know you should not do because they really deplete your energy? If you're not used to taking care of yourself, just start with the basics here. Eating better, drinking water, sleeping. Treat it with that level of respect. I have been dealing with some major chronic health issues over the last year, and I've had to slow down. I've had to let my body function at the level that it can function. I'd like to say I was stopping to heal, but we haven't even gotten to that point yet. If you don't slow down, eventually your body makes you slow down. And caring for a healthy person is a lot cheaper and easier than caring for a sick person. I promise you that. I also want you to think about progress over perfection. Sometimes we put these requirements on ourselves, but they're like imaginary requirements. We don't have to do this thing by this date. We can do a little bit at a time, and that's okay. We can do it 3 days out of the week, and that's okay. Making any kind of progress is progress. You're improving. That's what matters. It doesn't have to be done perfectly. I also want you to start small. We are all or nothing people as ADHDers, and sometimes that's just a little too overwhelming to get done. So what's a little step you can take? Instead of trying to eat healthy all week, can you have one healthy meal? Like, can you eat one piece of broccoli? Is there one thing that you can do to improve? Can you go to bed a little bit earlier? Can you just move for 20 minutes instead of requiring some kind of crazy cardio for an hour? What can you do that's just a little bit? I also want you to go at this problem from the profit first method. If you haven't listened to episode 22, it's about applying this method, but to your savings. I did a whole series on money management, and it talks about setting aside your savings first. Because in profit first, it's meant for business owners, which we own our own business, is that setting aside your profit first makes sure that you're only spending what you have available to spend and keeps you in the black. Well, we have to do that with our energy too. If we don't plan to recharge our battery, if you don't plan to plug your phone in when you go to bed, it's going to be dead the next day. You have to plan it into your day of how you're going to do that. You have to think about it ahead of time of how it's going to happen. If you say that you want to go to bed a little bit earlier, there's got to be a plan in place, because we all know if we don't have a plan and we just hope it happens, then we're going to be sitting up scrolling Netflix at 11 o'clock once again. Think about where you can put this thing that you want to do into your day, and preferably match it up with something that you already do. If you want to do movement, throw your three-year-old into the stroller and walk to the park instead of riding in the car. There's ways you can incorporate it in little ways that will make it more likely to happen because you thought about where it's going to go. So get ready, mama. I am so excited about the series we have coming up in learning how we can take care of ourselves a little bit better. It's time to start listening to yourself and giving your mind and spirit and body what it needs for you to be successful. There are so many ways that we can take care of ourselves, and I want you to have a full list of ideas ready to go so that your name is somewhere on the priority list. I'll talk to you soon, successful mama. Thank you for listening to Motherhood in ADHD. For more resources, head over to our website, www.motherhoodinadhd.com.